for one, one for another. With the name of love above all others. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is presented on Relevant Radio by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And good morning. Welcome. Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. And I'm Jeff Cavins.
And I'm Corey Regan.
And we're here to talk about
Scripture,
women in the Bible.
Yes. And it's a great time of year to talk about that with Advent and Christmas. And are you ready for Christmas?
I think I am. I am ready for Christmas, but I made an adjustment this year. A lot of people don't actually get real excited when Christmas comes. In fact, it's kind of a bummer for some people.
Like it's a lot of work.
Well, it's a lot of work, but I think so for some people, it also brings back very difficult memories.
Or it's sad and lonely.
Sometimes.
You're not with loved ones.
Yeah. Family might have moved away, mm-hmm. and you're kind of alone here in the tundra, you know, over Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also, I think sometimes the people, they get a little bit down like a day or two after Christmas, kind of the winter blues.
Like it's over.
Well, I think I know why. And I think it's the expectation.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
The
like
expectation
anything.
Of... what it's going to be or what you're going to get for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember when you were a kid.
When you were little, yeah.
You wanted a bike. You wanted that stereo or whatever it was, and you ended up getting a tie,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that didn't do it. And you were discouraged. And I think that some people actually put their hopes on getting things for Christmas that they think are going to really make them happy, or relationships are going to make them happy, and it doesn't. And they end up becoming a little bit blue. But I got a theory about it, and that's this. If you go back to the Genesis at the very beginning, I think it's the same problem that we find with Adam and Eve, and that is that there was one tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it was beautiful, good to the taste, makes one wise. What's not to like about all that? But God said, don't choose that,
mm-hmm.
choose me, and walk according to my plan. And they didn't. They chose the created thing.
Right.
Rather than the creator. And anytime you choose the created thing in the place of the creator, you're going to end up with the blues.
The blues. Sad. Not as satisfied.
Right. Exactly. And what you're really looking for is you're looking for that deep relationship with God that's going to fill that heart of yours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today we're going to be talking about studying the Bible. This is all about the new evangelization. And we're going to talk to a couple of wonderful women who are involved in Bible study and teaching Scripture. One is going to be Dr. Mary Healy. She's going to be joining us in just a few minutes. She's an associate professor of Sacred Scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit, a good friend of ours. And then after that, we're going to talk to Sarah Chrismeyer, who she puts Bible studies together. In fact, I've worked with her for many years, and she's going to talk about some of the women of the Bible. So, that's what the theme is going to be today. And you know what's really neat is that Christmas is all about a woman bringing forth the Word of God in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. So ready to talk about it?
Ready. Ready to learn.
All right. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back in just a moment.
Rediscover.
Hi, this is Paul Archambault, owner of Stinson Electric, and we are the proud sponsor of the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a Catholic, family-owned company that serves the electrical construction and repair needs of local businesses, churches, and schools. Our faith and our motto of quality, integrity, and service guides our business decisions every day. For small projects, troubleshooting a circuit, or installing an outlet or light fixtures, we have a fleet of service trucks that are staffed by licensed electricians who are knowledgeable, courteous, and efficient. They have the latest technology to diagnose and repair your electrical problem. For larger projects such as new building, building additions, or relocating equipment, we'll help you design, budget, and build the project. Stinson Electric would like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I would welcome the opportunity to meet with you and discuss your electrical need. Call Stinson Electric 612-424-7382.
Just want you to know.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you, joined by Corey Regan. And we are still preparing for Christmas, longing for the coming of the King. And just a quick reminder, in the middle of your day as you're shopping, going to work, whatever you might be doing, to make sure that you keep your heart calibrated on what will really, really bring that meaning out. And that's the relationship with the living Word, Jesus Christ. And as Catholics, of course, you know, we are not people of the book. We're people of the Word, specifically the incarnate Word, Jesus Christ. And we want to talk about that this morning. And I want to introduce you to a very good friend. She is the Associate Professor of Sacred Scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit, speaks at retreats and conferences around the country, has written a lot. General Editor of the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture, which I think personally is probably the best commentary out there in the world right now. She did a great job with that. She serves the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity. And get this, in 2014, this year, she was appointed by Pope Francis. That sounds good, doesn't it?
That's big time.
Anybody can have their name behind that. It's kind of exciting. I was appointed by Pope Francis to become a layman in Minnesota.
I was appointed to be on the Rediscover Hour by him.
She was appointed by Pope Francis to a 5-year term on the Pontifical Biblical Commission. That's big stuff. We're going to find out about that. Mm-hmm. And she currently serves as chair of the Doctrinal Commission of International Catholic Charismatic Renewal Services in Rome. Lots of great things that she's done. Dr. Mary Healy, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you, Jeff. Great to talk to you.
Well, the
Happy
show,
Advent.
The show, yes, you too. The show's half done because we just named off everything you do. but you are really, really busy. And I need to tell our listeners that you and I are very good friends, and we've known each other for quite mm-hmm. some time. And I'm just very impressed with the work you do, but not just the work you do, but who you are and how you live
Thank
out
you.
Your faith. So it's a privilege to have you on the show.
Thank you.
I want to start.
Privileged to know you too, Jeff. I've learned a lot from you.
Oh, well, you know, we're talking today about women and the Bible and women teaching the Bible and this new evangelization. And I mentioned just a few minutes ago that Christmas really is, when you think about it, Christmas really is about a woman bringing forth the Word of God, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Amen. And you mentioned just obliquely the story of the Annunciation, the angel coming to Mary and giving her that awesome news that she's to be the mother of the Messiah. And one of the things I love about that account that Luke gives us in chapter 1 is that he shows a parallel between Mary at the beginning of the gospel and the whole church at the beginning of Acts. And if you look closely at how he narrates the Annunciation, you see that it's almost a little Pentecost. It's a little foreshadowing of Pentecost. And what happens with Mary is that she's overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and the Word becomes flesh in her. And her incredible mission is to bring forth Christ into the world.
Mm.
And then later in Acts, you see the Holy Spirit comes down upon all the disciples gathered in the upper room, and they are to bring forth Christ into the world through their evangelization.
Uh-huh.
Christ becomes present in them in a new way, and they bring him forth into the world, patterning themselves after Mary. So Luke really shows us why she's the model disciple and the icon or the image of the church.
Wow, that's beautiful.
It is, yeah. I've never heard of it that way, and I'm just so blessed to be around you guys and learn so much about Scripture, and specifically women in Scripture. And Dr. Mary, I just want to know more about your appointment, your recent appointment this year to the Pontifical Bible Commission. Can you explain to me what that means, what that is, and what your role is in that?
Yeah, sure. The Pontifical Biblical Commission was founded in the early 20th century by Pope Pius X.
Okay.
And its purpose, it was originally actually a part of the magisterium of the church, but it's no longer that. It's a consultative body now. It's a group of 20 scholars from around the world who advise the Pope on matters of biblical interpretation and produce documents periodically. They've produced, since the 1960s, about five or six documents on topics of importance to the Pope and to the Church.
Mm-hmm.
And there have never been women on the Pontifical Biblical Commission until this year.
Oh, my gosh. So are you the first? Or is there more than
one? Well, there's three of us now.
Okay.
He appointed three women. And he's been speaking. You may have heard Pope Francis speak about the need to have women in prominent roles in the Church, and to for the Church to avail itself of the particular genius of women, the term coined by Pope John Paul II, in new ways and more than has been the case in the past. And so he's really backed up his words with deeds by appointing women for the first time to the Biblical Commission. And we will meet for 1 week each year in April, and have very intensive discussions. And the topic that has now been assigned to us, we helped to choose the topic, and then Pope Francis approved of it, is biblical anthropology. In other words, what does Scripture teach about the human person as male and female? And specifically, how can we draw from Scripture to address the burning questions of our time, having to do with marriage and sexuality, homosexuality, you know, all of the very difficult issues that the Church is being confronted with now? How can we draw from the Word of God? So we're going to be working on that topic probably for at least the next couple of years.
So when you get together, you're going to discuss it, and you will come to some kind of conclusion. And is that conclusion then something that is written up and given to the Pope? Or is it something that's given to the Pope, and the Pope then publishes something?
Yes, exactly. We will produce a document, and it will be approved by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. And the head of that congregation, Cardinal Mueller, is also the head of the Biblical Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And then he will decide to give it to the Pope, and then the Pope will decide whether it's to be published or not.
Okay.
And hopefully he'll decide to publish it if he thinks it's good.
Worthy.
Catholic teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully that will be a resource that bishops and theologians and priests around the world and lay people can use to see what Scripture has to tell us about the human person as created by God.
Okay.
Well, congratulations again on that. That's very, very exciting. Let's talk for a little bit with talk about women teaching Scripture. I know that at the National Bible Conference every year, we're looking for women to come to the conference, and you come up every time as somebody that we definitely want to bring on there. But there seems to be a shortage of women teaching Scripture at your level. And I wonder if you could comment on why that is and if that's changing now.
Yes, that is really true. There are a number of women in biblical studies now. When I attend the Catholic Biblical Association meetings, I would say a third of the membership maybe are women. And yet, I don't see that many young women who have terminal degrees, doctoral degrees in Scripture, and are teaching on the graduate level or the college level. And I so wish there were more, because women do bring a unique perspective. And women who have fallen in love with the Word of God and who love the Lord and love the Church can be so inspiring to others. And unfortunately, some of the women who are in biblical studies now they have either a feminist mentality, not the feminism that John Paul II promoted, Christian feminism, but more of a secular feminism. At least some do, and then others, they have a technical expertise, but that's not the same thing as a kind of passion for the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. Now, there are some who do have that, but I would love to see many more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are women out there, young women, who are thinking about what to do with their lives, who it would be so wonderful if they would do advanced studies in Scripture and be among those who are writing and teaching on Scripture.
And you talk about the women's unique perspective that they would bring. Describe that for me. How are they different, or how is their perspective maybe different from a man's as far as Scripture goes and teaching it and just understanding it and talking about it? How are they different from the way...
A couple of ways. I would say, again, drawing on what John Paul II taught about the feminine genius, women have a unique capacity to always recognize the primacy of the person and the primacy of love over, for instance, activity, productivity, technology, creativity, and the things that, in general, many men excel at.
Mm-hmm.
And so women have a more integrated approach and a more personal approach. And therefore, they, I think, will be quicker to notice interconnections among biblical passages and biblical themes, whereas men can sometimes be better at analyzing and picking apart an individual biblical passage. Women will have an easier time seeing a vision of the whole and seeing how you know, passages from the Old Testament, for instance, and the New Testament are interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing women bring, I think, is a very practical sense. Many women, of course, are mothers and wives and, you know, have a very practical bent where they understand the importance of teaching kids and dealing with daily chaos in the home and dealing with relationships. And so I think they are quicker to bring Scripture to bear on very concrete, everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas men can tend to be more abstract and more theoretical and, you know, kind of have their head in the clouds if they're studying some biblical...
Really?
Trying not to laugh.
Really? Head in the clouds.
Pull it together.
I'm assuming that's some kind of... Right? That's a Greek phrase or something, right?
I was like, should I laugh or should I not laugh right now?
Well, we're talking with Dr. Mary Healy. Let me pull my head out of the clouds just for a moment here.
I agree with you, though, Mary. Absolutely.
I must have both sides. But I'm curious... you know, we've been called by the church to study the Bible. We've been called to meditate on the Bible and engage the Scriptures, not just for an academic exercise, but because we're engaging a person in the Word of God. That's Jesus Christ. We're engaging Christ. You as a scholar, you as someone who's teaching at the graduate level, you who are appointed to the Pontifical Biblical Commission, how do you do that on a daily basis? What is your routine? What are your habits?
Wow, what a great question. Well, I get up and I try to make the very first thing I do after making coffee, if I'm totally honest.
There you go.
The very first thing I do after that.
You got to get your head out of the clouds.
Yeah, I got to get my head out of the clouds, out of the fog.
The fogginess, yeah.
I spend a lot of time just worshiping the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Usually a good hour, sometimes longer. And listening to his word, I actually listen to the daily readings online, sitting in silence before the Lord, asking him questions, reading a part of Scripture that he has led me to. And whenever I am preparing for a talk or a conference or retreat or of writing on a biblical topic, which is pretty much all the time, every day, I kneel before the Lord, and this is something I learned actually from Father Raniero Cantalamessa. Don't do something for the Lord, and once you have the whole thing put together, say a quick prayer asking the Lord to bless it, but begin by begging the Lord to put on your heart what he wants you to say, what he has to say to this particular group of people through you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read about St. Thomas Aquinas, how he used to get on the floor on his face before the Lord, often weeping and just begging the Lord to show him what to say. And if he's considered one of the most brilliant theologians in the history of the church, I think it's only because of that, because he sought the Lord, and he didn't just rely on his book learning and say, you know, let me just organize and put together all the things that I've picked up and that I've learned, and then ask the Lord to bless it. So that's what I try to do. And of course, I avail myself of the sacraments, the Holy Eucharist, and confession as often as possible, and stay close to the church, and stay close to a group of friends who can challenge me and call me on. So those I think are the most important things for keeping close to the Word of God and not being led astray or kind of wandering away. It's so easy to do
right.
in our secular culture.
And for women specifically, talking about Bible study and studying the Scripture, how do you know which one to pick? Like if I wanted to just get one that was great for young mothers or something, where do I start? Mm-hmm. Where's a place that mm-hmm. I can go to that mm-hmm. can kind of describe certain Bible studies and go from there, do some research?
Well, there are several that I would recommend, and I can just give a word or two on each.
Okay.
If you're a beginner and you you want to get your feet wet and just start dipping into the Bible, I would recommend the really short Bible studies put out by the Word Among Us Press.
Okay.
Gene Kuhn is one of their authors, and Rich Cleveland and Kevin Parada. And they're just usually 6 weeks or 8 weeks. Very simple, but a great way to begin.
Okay.
Then there are more thorough Bible studies, one by Lavinia Spirito, a whole series called The Catholic Way, and another series by Lori Manhart called Come and See Bible Study. Those are both very good. There's a great one. I don't know if you've heard of this one called The Great Adventure.
I was waiting for
Jeff
that.
Caven.
Let's just pause there and talk about this for a little bit. Just kidding.
Which is really the best thing out there for giving you the great sweep of salvation history, getting mm-hmm. a bird's eye view of the whole, after which you will have a much better understanding of where every piece of the Bible, every book, every passage
timeline
fits in.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Catholic Scripture Study International, which has been created by Gail Buckley. That's a wonderful sort of very long, ongoing Bible study where they've done detailed studies of a lot of the books of the Bible, and I know women who are in that and love it. There is Endow, which stands for Educating on the Nature and Dignity of Women, and they have a number of studies out there. Most are not on the Bible, but they're on church teachings on women.
And women,
and those are excellent too.
So it sounds
and
like.
Then,
a, go ahead. There's more. I just keep coming. I'm encouraged by this.
And then finally, there's this series that I edit, the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture, and that's for people who already know a fair bit and want to go deeper.
Okay.
And we are eventually going to cover the whole New Testament. We have a little more than half done now with commentaries. And then online for each book, there are questions that can be used for a Bible study.
So if someone, Dr. Healy, is interested in studying the Bible and they're listening and they say, you know, I've never really been a part of a Bible study and I appreciate these suggestions and hopefully, you know, people can write them down and take advantage of them. But what's the very beginning point? Let's get down to real basics.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of Bible do you suggest for women? And I would imagine it would be for most people, but for women, what's the Bible that you recommend, and what are a couple of helps that they may want to use to help them study the Bible?
Mm-hmm. Well, the two most common English translations out there for Americans are the RSV Catholic Edition.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's sold as the Ignatius Bible, and that translation is, in my opinion, it's the best. It's the closest to the Greek. And that, because of that, you're really getting the best look at what the biblical author actually said. And then there's the New American Bible, Revised Edition, which is the translation most Catholics are familiar with because it's used in the lectionary at Mass. That one is very good too, and it's a literal translation, but it doesn't have quite the same consistency. Like the same Greek word will be translated in a number of different English words in different contexts.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend either one of those rather than some of the Bibles that are really more like a paraphrase out there, like today's English Version or the Good News Bible or the Message, which is even more of a paraphrase, it's like you're one more step removed from what the biblical author actually said. So I would, again, recommend one of those two, particularly the Ignatius Bible or the New American Bible.
And any helps like dictionaries, encyclopedias, commentaries?
Yes. I'd recommend Scott Hahn's Catholic Bible Dictionary.
Okay.
That is, I think, the best dictionary out there for Catholics, one-volume dictionary. If you want to go a little bit deeper, I recommend the Dictionary of Biblical Theology by Léon Dufour, translated into English years ago. For a study Bible, there's the Ignatius Study Bible, and that means it has extensive footnotes that help explain the meaning of terms and explain any difficult passages. And then for commentaries, again, there's the series I edit called The Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture,
mm-hmm.
of which I did the Gospel of Mark. And I'm also doing the Letter to the Hebrews, which will be coming out next year. So that gives you a lot more detailed explanation of what the biblical author actually meant by his words and how we can apply them today and how some of the fathers of the church or the saints or catechism have spoken about particular biblical passages.
Sure. We have about a minute left. I need to ask you this question, though. If a young lady is saying to herself, you know, I might want to do this. I love Scripture, and maybe God has called me to get that terminal degree, that doctorate, so that I can teach Scripture. What advice would you give a young lady, any lady, that is saying, you know, I think I'd like to at least pursue this? What kind of future do they have? What road are they going to go down?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question. I recommend first that they get a good theology degree. I would recommend Franciscan University or the Augustine Institute. You can also get a degree at Sacred Heart Major Seminary, although that's usually local people who come here to Detroit. So I recommend you really get a good grounding in theology and take at least a couple of philosophy courses, because that can help inoculate you against some of the mistaken premises that often mar biblical studies.
Mm-hmm.
And then for your doctorate, no place is absolutely perfect, but you might even consider going to Rome and going to the Gregorian University, which I attended. It's less daunting than you might think, and there are many lay people studying there. Or you might apply to a place like Notre Dame or Fuller Theological Seminary in California,
mm-hmm.
or Duke University has a good program, although it's not Catholic. Fuller is also not Catholic. But once you have a good Catholic grounding in theology, you can still draw from the best of Protestant faculty.
Sure. Sure. Well,
so
thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate you so much coming on the show today and talking about Bible study, particularly from a woman's perspective. And God bless you on all the work you're doing and on the Pontifical Biblical Commission. You've done us proud here in America.
Congratulations. That's a
thanks.
Big deal.
Pray for me. Pray for us.
Will do.
If people want to get in touch with you at the seminary, where would they go?
Well, my email is healy.mary@shms.edu.
Okay.
Sacred Heart Major Seminary.edu.
Very good. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks,
I look forward
Mary.
To talking to you later in the year.
Thank you. And have a blessed
Merry Christmas.
You too. That's Dr. Mary Healy. She's from the Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit, talking about Bible study, particularly from a woman's perspective. Very, very insightful. Well, when we come back after our break, Corey, we're going to be talking to another fantastic lady, Sarah Christmeyer.
That's right. Yeah,
and
another.
She's been involved in Bible studies for years, and we're going to talk to her about some of the women
in the Bible.
It's going to be exciting. So you're listening to the Rediscover Hour, and we're going to come back right after this.
Rediscover.
This is Evan Beacom with a cultural note from Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. The image of Our Lady with the Child Jesus in Santa Maria Maggiore in Rome is known simply as Salus Populi Romani, the protectress of the Roman people. Legend has it that the image was painted by Luke the Evangelist on the wood of the table of the Last Supper. Whatever its origin, Pope St. Gregory the Great had it processed through Rome in the 6th century to end an outbreak of the plague. Pope St. Pius V had it processed through Rome in the 16th century to pray for victory at the decisive naval battle of Lepanto. In August, it left Santa Maria Maggiore again, this time for Pope Francis' prayer vigil for peace at St. Peter's.
Relevant Radio is proud to bring you cultural notes from the University of St. Thomas Center for Catholic Studies. For information on local Catholic Studies events, go to the Events tab at relevantradio.com.
This is the Rediscover Hour. Welcome back. Jeff Cavins along with Corey Regan talking about women in the Bible today, Bible teachers and women in the Bible too. And I'm curious, Corey, as you listen to Dr. Mary Healy, I mean, what do you think about that in the whole world of the world of Bible study? Is that something that you came from way before you were Catholic?
I did, yes. In high school, we did a bunch of Bible studies. As a Presbyterian young girl, and that was what we did. It was social, it was fun, and we learned a lot as well. But you know, being a Catholic now, I'd like to go back, and I've done a couple, but go back and do it again. It's a great way for women to get together and discuss a subject that is helpful, and we can relate to our lives and really learn from and grow
from. Certainly
a
different perspective as a Catholic.
Absolutely, yeah.
Kind of like my pilgrimages going over to Israel for about 20 of them. I was a Protestant minister, and then I went over as a Catholic, and it was a completely different pilgrimage.
I went to Rome and as a non-Catholic, and gosh, I would love to go back now. It means so much more. So it's just
Hopefully you get that chance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our next guest is a very good friend. In fact, to full disclosure, I've been working with her for close to 15 years now, and she's been involved in Bible study also, and that's writing Bible studies, but also teaching. And she comes from a very, very rich background. She is one of the co-editors of the Great Adventure Bible Study. Lives in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'd like to welcome Sarah Chrismeyer to the show. Sarah, how are you?
I'm well. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing very well, very well. You know, we just spoke with Dr. Mary Healy, and I know you know Mary Healy quite well.
Yes.
And the fine work that she's doing. And a lot of people didn't realize that this is the first time that women have been appointed to the Pontifical Biblical Commission, and we got three of them now in 1 year.
Three, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, three of them. It's very, very exciting to know her, and it's going to be exciting over the next 5 years to follow the work of the Pontifical Biblical Commission. Tell our listening audience a little bit about your background, Sarah, and as far as Bible study goes.
Well, I was raised Protestant, as you mentioned, I think, and became Catholic shortly after I was married. And as you mentioned, I think, Corey.
Yeah, that was same as me, yeah.
Yeah, as a Protestant, our lives pretty much centered around the Bible.
That's right.
That's all we did.
Mm-hmm.
And so becoming Catholic was a bit of a shock. I didn't really know how to be, how to practice my faith without having the Bible.
The Bible, right.
And so I began studying both the Catholic faith and my Bible, trying to see it through the eyes of the Catholic Church. And if I thought it was beautiful before, I was just amazed at how incredibly beautiful it was afterward and how it all hangs together. I wanted so much to be able to study the Bible with my Catholic friends and was kind of unable to do that. So that launched me into preparing my own Bible study material and writing studies, and soon I got involved with Jeff Cavins. And we've been working quite a long time together now, developing Bible studies based on his Bible Timeline program.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been just a fantastic time of not only being able to dig into the scriptures ourselves, being able to share that with people, but witnessing a whole renaissance in the church of people coming alive and longing to study the Bible and getting into it in a way that Catholics were not 20 years ago.
You know, I failed to mention the fact that, like Dr. Healy, who is teaching at Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit. You're also teaching at the seminary in Philadelphia.
I am. I'm teaching an overview of Scripture to the men who are on their spiritual year at mm-hmm. the seminary. Just a wonderful opportunity.
And you just finished writing on the prophets, is that correct? And you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Thomas Smith and I wrote a 10-week study on the prophets that I think is just fantastic. It really, in a way, it does for the prophets kind of what the Bible timeline does for the whole Bible.
Okay.
In the sense that, the prophets are a huge part of the Bible, as you know. They take up, half the Old Testament. But really, we're only familiar with little fragments of them, you know, Elijah and the fiery chariot, or the prophets of Baal or something. And we get little pieces of them, like right now in Advent, we're hearing from the prophets, but we don't often see them in their overall picture of what was happening in Israel and why God wanted to have prophets to begin with. So the study looks at the not just the cultural times and so on, but it looks at the big picture of what was going on in Israel at the time, why God needed to send prophets to speak on his behalf, and really, you know, who they were and why what they said was so important.
Mm. But they're all men.
Yeah, that is a good
point. Aren't we talking about women here?
They are all men. But there's women in the Bible that really stand out. And I'd like you to comment on that, Sarah. Who are some of the women in the Bible that particularly impress you, and why?
I love particularly the Old Testament women, and I think that's because I grew up hearing those stories and play-acting them. And my mother never lost the chance to make a teachable moment and to bring in one of those women of the Bible. So, for example, Esther, who is this beautiful queen who gets kind of exalted to this wonderful place and then finds herself in a position where she can help her country, but in order to do so, she has to put her own life on the line. So the fantastic courage of Esther has always really galvanized me and been an inspiration.
When you come to the New Testament, I know you've done some work with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Talk to us about that.
I absolutely love the woman at the well, and I think it's because her story is so much more than just the story of one woman. And in a way, she represents all of the people who through the ages were, the people of Israel, for example, had left God. They had wandered away from this wonderful relationship that they had with him and were seeking fulfillment in other gods and in other ways of worship and so on. And over time, they were abandoned and they were led into exile and so on. And when Jesus walks into the area of Samaria, it's the story is told in John 4, he's going into a place where the people don't worship God the same way that the Jews do, and they've decided that they will worship God on their own terms and in their own place and so on. But he goes there, and he sits down at a well where he's thirsty and tired, and a woman comes up. And he shouldn't probably speak to this woman, but he tells her that he's thirsty, and he asks her for water. And in this woman, she comes, just like I guess all women come in those days. They would come every day to the well to draw water and never get enough water for a long time. They would never get satisfied. You have to go back day after day after day. And that really reflected what her life was like. We find out that she had five husbands and that she's living with another husband. And a lot of time, a man who's not her husband. And a lot of time people think, oh, she's just like the scarlet woman or something. But I think of that woman and how five times she went to the altar with somebody thinking that here's the man who's going to, you know, be the love of her life and that she'll have children with and he'll be her protector and she's looking forward to this life. And somehow he left. You know, he either died or they were divorced, or he abandoned her, or somehow. We really don't know what happened. But I'll tell you one thing. Whatever happened, there is a lot of pain there in that
sure.
woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so much so that now she's with somebody else, and she's not even getting married. So it's like here she is. She's seeking for love, but in all the wrong places.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Israel has been doing all those years. And that's what we do, don't we? Even if we have God, we're seeking for satisfaction. Fulfillment, what, in our jobs, our children, a husband.
Material things,
our houses, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we never, ever get satisfied. And Jesus meets her there. I love it that he sought her out. He meets her in that place where she's longing, where she's going to find water and not finding water that lasts. And he offers her living water, you know, some kind of fulfillment or nourishment that's going to really reach down to the level of her heart and soul and satisfy her forever. And we don't have many words that pass between them.
I was going to say, what does he say to her there?
Yeah, he says to her, you know, if you knew who I am, you would ask me for a drink, and I would give you living water. And she is so moved by that she drops her water jar, and she runs off into the town where she's probably not very well liked.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't care about that. She tells them all about this man, and she said, come and see the one who's told me all I've ever done. Which... it's kind of odd to me because it, you know, it sounds on the surface like that would expose her.
Right.
But what he, by telling her what she'd done, what he's saying is, I know you. I know you all the way down to the core, and I know what your longings are. I know what you've been through. I know you've been rejected all these times. I know you're alone, and I have something for you that will fill you.
Wow.
I mean, it's just... phenomenal.
That's a beautiful message for people today, isn't it? I mean, you know, you're listening to this show right now, and maybe you are like that woman at the well. Maybe there's been 5 episodes in your life where you were longing for something, and it is just a big disappointment. And as we mentioned, Sarah, at the top of the show, sometimes people even do that at the Christmas time. They're longing for something at Christmas, and then, you know, December 26, 27, 28, 29, they go through kind of a blues time because, you know what, it still is not filling my heart, and they miss the whole point of Christmas.
Yeah. You know, St. Augustine said about that episode that the water jar, it's interesting to me, nobody ever drinks anything in the passage, but we see the water jar at the end where she has left it behind, and St. Augustine said that water jar represents all the fallen desires of man, that draws pleasure from the dark wells of the world, but is never satisfied.
Wow, well put, well put.
Well put, very
well.
No pun intended.
Well, maybe.
Well, Sarah, what other message do you have? We were talking about Advent and Christmas, and what other message would you have for people during this last week of Advent?
Well, as I've been approaching Advent, I've been trying very hard to focus on Christ coming and to look for him and to long for him. And I keep finding myself caught up in all these other things. And I'm, you know, arranging the manger scene, and I'm arranging the lights and decorating and buying gifts and all this. And it's almost as though I'm looking to find my fulfillment in all of these other things.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that struck me as I was reading again the story of the woman at the well is that Jesus met her. She didn't have to go to Jerusalem to see him. I mean, it's nice, and if you go there, you'll find him. But he met her at the place of her longing. He met her right where she was looking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I would like to open my eyes, and I would like to encourage other people to do that too, to open our eyes and say, Jesus, where are you?
Mm-hmm.
And to see where he is. He might be right in front of us, and we don't even know it. And he, you know, he promises that if we seek him, we'll find him. But it's not just we who seek him. He seeks us first.
Isn't that beautiful? It's sort of like the prodigal son in some ways, even though we're talking about a woman here in John chapter 4 with a Samaritan woman, in that when we kind of come to our senses, we realize at that point that God is actually pursuing me, mm-hmm. you know?
Yes.
He's seeking me out. And I think that that's a beautiful, beautiful thought. And I like what you said, Sarah, that God meets us at the place of our desire, the place of our...
Even if it's the wrong place. I mean, we're looking in the wrong place, and he comes there.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like the Lord built a building and said if anybody that wants to know the right way to live, come over here.
Yeah. Well, I looked the other day at it was actually a three-dimensional relief map of Israel. And at the beginning of this story, it says that Jesus had to pass through Samaria to get up to Galilee. But if you look at the way the terrain goes, he made a point of going through Samaria. You have to go up into the hills and through the mountains and so on. And he deliberately went to this place where he was unwelcome and where Jews would not normally go, just in order to meet those people so that they could find the Messiah and find his living water.
And back then, the Jews did not typically go into Samaria or talk to Samaritans, and certainly not a Jewish man would not speak to a Samaritan woman.
No, and they wouldn't drink water from a vessel that the Samaritans had used.
Right, right.
It was unclean.
So at the place of her complete brokenness, there is the Messiah, which, you know, if people want to go even deeper into that, they can go back and read Hosea, which Hosea spoke to her ancestors and told them that they were broken and told them that he was going to seek them out and told them that God was going to come with refreshing water one day. And, of course, that's what Jesus did, and that's what makes that story so beautiful. Sarah, for women who are interested in getting into Bible study, what are some guidelines that you can give them, or some suggestions on getting into Bible study, and maybe a few habits that they could develop?
Okay, first of all, if there is a good Bible study group in the area, to join one. What I'm always interested in is, what do you do when you're done with that formal Bible study?
Mm-hmm.
Because if all we do is study, then the Bible is just coming into our head, and we want to get it down into our hearts. So for me, the thing that has been helpful is to make a daily habit of reading the Bible. And sometimes that involves study as I work toward, you know, answering questions and so on in a study that I'm doing. But also just reading and listening to God and asking him, what do you have to say to me in this passage?
Uh-huh. And I know that you put together a 90-day reading program, and I know a lot of women are using that right now. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I'm glad you brought it up, because we're actually launching it online, a version of it, on January 1st. It is based on the Bible reading plan that you actually put together, your 90-day plan that takes you through the entire story of the Bible in 90 days. But it takes every single day's reading, excuse me, and it gives a brief introduction to it. It provides some answers to typical questions that come up when those readings are done. And it also asks some questions for reflection. So there's a Bible timeline guided journal that you can get from Ascension Press and walk through that on your own time, and it has space to write your reflections and your prayer and so on as you go through the 90 days. But on BibleStudyForCatholics.com, I think it's in the blog section, they will be offering soon a daily email that you would receive from me that provides a little reflection and the reading assignment for that day, and then gives a question that you can write your answer to and converse with some other people who are doing it at the same time.
So you could do it without being in a group, a formal group, like a meeting at your house, because I feel like that might be some of the hard part for busy moms or busy women to find the time to gather weekly. But if you could do something like this on your own and talk with people online,
yes,
that would work as well.
So yes. If you want to participate in that, what a great way to begin the year. You can go to BibleStudyForCatholics.com, and Sarah will be talking to you every day about the Word of God, 90 days through the Bible, and you'll get the big picture. Well, Sarah, I hope that your family has a great Christmas, and thank you for all that you're doing over the last 15 years or so in bringing forth the Word of God. Like the Blessed Mother who brought forth the Word of God at Christmas, you're continuing to bring forth the Word of God, and you're a great gift for the church. If people want to get in touch with you, can they just go to BibleStudyForCatholics.com?
They can do that, and they can also write to me at Sarah at comeintotheword.com.
Okay, comeintotheword.
Comeintotheword.com, where I blog on a weekly basis, inviting people to come into the Word of God and helping them to seek and meet the Lord in Scripture.
Fantastic. Thank you, and say hi to the family.
Thanks, Sarah.
I will do. Thank you both. God bless.
You bet. Sarah Chrismeyer, she teaches out at Charles Borromeo Seminary in Philadelphia. She is a co-writer for the Great Adventure Bible Studies and a great sister in the Lord. Been at it for about 15 years, developing fine, fine materials. Well, I'm so glad that, oh, by the way, you know that Sarah's coming to the Twin Cities. She's going to be coming to the... in May. She's part of the Cathedral Speaker Series, and she's going to be talking on Saturday, May 2nd, first Saturday morning of reflection at the Cathedral in the Shrine of the Apostle Paul. She's giving two talks on how God helps us face trials. So put it on your calendar. That's May 2nd. Sarah Chrismeyer will be here in the Twin Cities, and we look forward to that. Well, it's been a great show talking about studying the Bible and women teaching the Bible and women in the Bible, and I hope that it's inspired you to want to get more involved in Bible study and meet this Jesus Christ in the Word of God. And I hope that this next year is going to be a great day for all of you in studying the Bible. And remember, you know, coming up for Christmas, just in days from now, that it is all about encountering the Word of God, Jesus. It's not so much about the gifts and things, it's about a person. And make sure that you keep yourself calibrated to Jesus Christ and His wonderful family rather than the creation. Creator over the creation.
There we go.
So we're going to take a break. We come back, we've got some big announcements for you taking place in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour.
Hi, I'm Paul Archambault from Stinson Electric. You're a facility manager or business owner with electrical or lighting needs, we can help. Have you heard the buzz lately about energy efficient lighting? Do you wonder if it makes sense for your facility? You may not know who you should call or who you can trust. Energy-efficient lighting installations are usually eligible for utility rebates that defray part of your initial investment. Often these projects pay for themselves in as little as 1 year. You gain the added benefit of better quality lighting, less maintenance, and energy efficiency. We have designed and installed lighting upgrades for churches, schools, and commercial buildings for customers just like you who are often astonished with the results. We also install and service outdoor lighting on buildings and in parking lots to enhance safety and security. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382. You shatter my darkness, wash away my blindness.
Now breathe it in and breathe it out. Paul Sadek along with Corey to take a look at some of the things going on around the Twin Cities. The Cathedral of St. Paul invites you to the first Saturday series, Morning of Reflection, Saturday, January 3rd, with Sister Mary Juliana, Nashville Dominican, and Principal of St. Croix Catholic School in Stillwater. Morning session begins with 8 a.m. Mass, followed by adoration, time for refreshments, and an opportunity for confession, as well as two conferences by Sister Mary Juliana, Mary the Model Disciple, and Surrender to the Holy Spirit. Also a rosary led by Mothers of the Priests of the Archdiocese. The event concludes at noon with benediction. The cathedral is located at 239 Selby Avenue in St. Paul. To find out more, go to cathedralstpaul.org or call 651
6512281766. That's 6512281766.
And St. Paul's Outreach welcomes Father Kevin Finnegan, co-founder of SPO and pastor of Our Lady of Grace in Edina, as featured speaker for Men on a Mission, Friday, January 9th from 7 to 8 a.m. at the Embassy Suites in Bloomington. To RSVP, please call Joe Cassidy at 651-451-6114 or visit spoweb.org. That's spoweb.org.
And St. Hubert Catholic Churches offer a dynamic marriage conference led by Dr. Bob Shooks and his team from the John Paul II Healing Center, January 16th and 17th. This retreat gives practical ways to make great marriages even better. If your marriage needs reconciliation and healing, you'll find ways to grow in trust and intimacy. It's titled Unveiled: Healing and Reconciliation. It's Friday evening, January 16th, and Saturday, January 17th. To find out more, call Deacon Tim, 952-934-9106. That's 952-934-9106.
And
what's
we have
up next
some
week, Jeff?
Big things coming up, Paul. Next week, we're going to talk with Vicki Kippers about Christmas and listen to some of the beautiful music from her Christmas CD. And just another reminder, coming up, we've got the Women's Conference on February 14th. Women in the New Evangelization at Epiphany. Can only take about 1,000, so you got to sign up quick. Go to our website. That's our website at the Archdiocese here, and look up WINE. You'll get all the information. Men's Conference coming up March 21st. That's what's happening in the Archdiocese. And you've been listening to the Rediscover Hour. Look forward to hearing about all your stories after Christmas. God bless you.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330, and is presented by your trusted electrical advisor, Stinson Electric, serving commercial, institutional, and facility managers in our area. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.